Welcome to the Love on the Go podcast, brought to you by Carolina's Matchmaker. I'm Lori Burzak, and for over 17 years, I've been helping singles find the relationship of their dreams all over the Carolinas. Along the journey, I've met so many amazing professionals and experts from various fields, and I'm excited to introduce them to you. What's my goal? I want to help you look at love and relationships in a new way and to grow in your understanding of how love works. Let's learn together how people have overcome personal obstacles and have found love, first and foremost with themselves. The ultimate goal is realizing that you are worthy and deserving of love. Let's get started. All right, here we are answering questions from my Singles in the Carolinas Facebook group. If you haven't already joined, feel free to. I will tell you that it's an interesting opportunity to connect with people in a forum. It's a page, it's a private page, and the idea is to share ideas and to discuss being single. Do dates come out of this? Absolutely. I'm sure relationships have too. They haven't reported it to me, but I've heard about a couple. So here are some of the ones that people have asked me. One of them asked, once you have been single for many years, how hard is it to be in a relationship or be willing to be in a relationship? And I believe that the question stems from someone that is hoping to date someone who has not been in a relationship for some time. My answer is, it depends on the person and where they're at mentally. Sometimes it takes a while for someone to get over a divorce or a previous relationship, and they just need some time. I used to have a client who said, I don't want to date a man who hasn't been divorced for 5 years, at least 5 years. I want him to have had different opportunities and different experiences so that by the time I meet him, he's kind of had that whirlwind romance, the first one that comes out after a divorce. He needs to have had some kind of longer term relationship where he learned and he grew and he tried, but it didn't work out. And then here I come along. That was her thought process. I'm not saying that should be everyone's, but I thought it was intriguing that she felt that way. And I didn't think it was a bad idea. I do know that sometimes people jump into relationships shortly after divorce or shortly after they've lost a spouse. And oftentimes those relationships don't work out because they haven't taken the time to process the grief of a long-term relationship ending or a spouse passing away. They haven't had an opportunity to think about kind of what was their part in the breakup. Maybe they're still filled with some anger or resentment or whatnot. They haven't processed it in therapy or with their friends or family members enough. And then they think, let me get into another relationship and that will kind of fix me. That will kind of cure my loneliness. And that will be kind of my way out of this thinking, this ruminating that's going on. Not necessarily the greatest thing in the world. It works sometimes, but oftentimes it leads to divorce number two or divorce number one if you've been widowed. So I think that explore it with someone. The answers will come rather quickly if the person is really ready for a relationship or not. Ask the questions. On the first few dates, I'd say up to date number five, it should really be initially dates one to two. Are you having fun? Is there chemistry? Are you laughing? Do you have some things enough to talk about to sustain the conversation? By dates three, four, and five, you're really going to be talking about some of the deeper things because you've already covered everything superficial pretty much. So you start getting into deeper issues, maybe talking about previous relationships or how you want to live your life, what you're looking forward to achieving in your life, children perhaps, and issues that you've had around them or other family members. So you end up really learning about that person and kind of what makes them tick or not tick. They'll start bringing up things that aren't as positive that, you know, they may not have shared with you in the first couple of dates. And then by date number five, you kind of do decide, is this something that we want to focus on exclusively, where we get to really find out about each other? And then, and without the chaos and the noise of dating other people, usually by date five, that's been my experience. After date number five, that happens. If we're talking about heterosexual relationships, I have observed that it's usually the man that brings it up And either the woman is ready for it or they're not. That's fine. A guy will normally say something along the lines of, listen, I've really enjoyed getting to know you, and I'm not interested in dating someone else. I'm not going to ask you not to do that, but I'd like to see where this relationship goes without dating other people and the confusion around that. What do you think? And they get their answer. So whether someone's been single for quite some time doesn't necessarily mean any kind of indication if they're ready to be in a relationship now or not. You just need to explore it. So the only way to figure that out is by dating them and seeing what their communication looks like and to see if you can get to date number five in order to have that real conversation. Another great question that came up is, what do you recommend we do to prepare ourselves for dating? What are some questions we can ask to get some clarity about the type of person we're looking for or the type of relationship we're looking for? Great question. I think that you need to feel really grounded and really be thoughtful around what it is that you're looking for. Someone, journal, meditate, light a candle, walk in the grass without your shoes on, walk around your neighborhood, think it through, clear your mind. What do you have to offer in a relationship is the first thing that I want you to do. And if you're wanting to say to me something like, I got nothing right now. I'm exhausted. I'm overworked. I'm still feeling some kind of way about my last relationship. I'm still kind of angry. I'm still grieving. I'm still sad. Now is not the right time to date, because what's going to happen is you are literally going to attract in someone that's at that same vibration, somebody who's sort of the same level as you thinking about the world. You want to get as positive as you can about yourself, about the things that you're doing. So what I recommend is get involved with things in your community. Join a pickleball group or league or a softball league or a kickball league. Start going on hikes with a meetup group. Join a nonprofit in town. Go to singles events. Maybe there's just speed dating in your town. Whatever it is that's going on, try to get involved. Make some new friends. Fill up your life in lots of different ways. It's perfect because number one, you'll have something to talk about when you go on dates. And number two, you'll meet people organically. Obviously, you can also hire a matchmaker, and I can help you with online dating management, or I can help you with matchmaking. So it just kind of depends on where you're at with the entire journey. But if you are not feeling good, perhaps seek out therapy. If you're feeling depressed or anxious, just do some of the deeper work. Journaling is a really good way to do it too. And then just kind of wait until you're feeling good and then start dating. Here's another great question. It's talking about how sometimes people date for a long time, but they don't realize that the relationship isn't working after a significant period of time. And how can they recognize sooner what isn't working, and to cut the relationship. A lot of times I think that when people are getting into a relationship, they're just showing their best selves. Of course, that's normal, right? That's what we want to do. But they're also not handling conflict, which is one of the main reasons I think people divorce, is that they don't want to handle it. They're sort of secured and locked into a relationship. So when things pop up in their mind that are troublesome about the relationship, or that they're not happy with, or things that they want to change, they don't bring it up. They just figure, I'll deal with this another day. Let me just get through my day. Let me just watch my Netflix, read my book, listen to my music, go to sleep, get to work the next day. Eventually, this will just go away, or I'll accept it. And they're sweeping things under the rug. In a good, solid relationship and marriage, you got to bring this stuff up. You got to bring up the conflict. And when you do, and I know that it takes energy, and a lot of times we don't have that energy. So get a good night's sleep, write out all the points that you want, and then bring them up to your partner or your boyfriend or girlfriend. And here's how I suggest doing it. Say to them, listen, there's some stuff I want to talk to you about. If you don't mind, I'd like to speak first, and just kind of get it all out, and then let's discuss. Is that okay with you? Yeah, great. Okay. Now, if it's something that you want to bring up that you think is going to get a little heated and something that maybe you've argued about before, then I would say this. I have some things to talk about. I want to do it respectfully between both of us, and I just want to kind of create some ground rules before we do that. One of the ground rules I would like is no yelling at each other, no cursing, no walking out of the room. Are you in agreement? No, yes, whatever it is, handle the objection. I think that they'll say yes, and okay, great. And then go back to what I said earlier. If you don't mind, I'd like to speak first without any interruptions, and then we can dialogue about it. Okay, great. And make sure that when they're responding to you, that you don't interrupt them, which is really hard to do because you have all your points and you know what you're going to say, but you need to show the same respect back. Now, if the conversation gets a little heated, point it out. Listen, remember what we talked about, that we weren't going to yell. Okay, remember we said we weren't going to curse. Oh, I see you getting up. We agreed that we weren't going to walk out on this conversation. It's really important that we get through it. It's something that's been upsetting me for some time, and I really want to get past this because I love you and I want this to work. It's not like you're saying that you're going to walk out if, you don't want to ever make the person feel like they are going to be abandoned if the result of the conversation doesn't go well. But you do want them to know that this is serious. It's been on your mind. It's upsetting you, but you don't want to put them on the defensive from the beginning. So it's kind of like when you're talking about it at the very start, you say, I want to talk to you about something that's hurting my heart right now. And I just want to have an open and honest conversation because I love you. And I just wanted to do this. Okay. So that's where you're really coming from. I want to work through this because I love you and I want to get closer to you, but it's something I think that's kind of standing in my way. So that's kind of how you can phrase it. And then have the conversation. If you find that you're not getting to any kind of resolution, you can say, you know what? And it's been like over an hour or it's been some time and you're like, okay, I'm exhausted. We're not getting anywhere. What I would say is this, okay, I think we've gotten to a point where we can kind of let's put a pin in this and kind of create like sacred space and put it over here. And just enjoy it. Let's enjoy the rest of our evening. Let's watch that show together, play a game, play some cards, like just go for a walk, whatever it is. And let's not bring this up again until we've sort of created the space for it where, it's kind of in a compartment for both of you, where you don't bring it up all the time, where it's something that you are comfortable coming back to and you're not feeling as if it's this ongoing dialogue, which is exhausting. So, to circle back to the original part of the question, why are so many people trying in the relationship, trying to make the relationship work and not recognizing that it doesn't work sooner? So, if you are handling the conflict sooner, you will know sooner that the relationship isn't working. You really should know within the first year, all four seasons, if it's going somewhere or if it's not. And I'm not talking about marriage. A lot of times people don't want to get remarried, and at least initially after they have had a divorce or if they have been widowed, they just kind of want to enjoy the relationship, but they also want to know that it's going somewhere. So you should know within a year how that person handles conflict, if you're really getting to the other side when you're having conflict, and whether the relationship is working and where it is going to go. Hope that's helpful. Okay, here is a question for, and the writer said it's for the age group of 50 to 60. A woman, how do you find a man that is willing to put in a little effort? I'm so tired of having to do all the work in a relationship. At least meet me halfway with some effort. When meeting online, how do you get the men to engage in any type of conversation? I ask questions and get one or two word responses. They don't seem to be interested in knowing more about me. Why like me if you aren't interested? I love this. And when I help my women with online dating, I will often see men just responding one or two words. And it's a non-starter. It's just let them go. After, let's say, four back and forth at the least. If you're asking the questions and they're answering yes, no, or just one word, they're not engaging, I would just let it go. But also remember, that sometimes people don't know how to interact online. And I'll say, give them the benefit of the doubt a little bit. Try in different ways, and then if it still continues, like I said, after four back and forth, just let it go. Okay, the whole idea of how do you find a man who is willing to put in a little effort, and that you're doing all the work in a relationship, they're just not the right guy. So keep trying to meet different people. You know, it is a little bit like a part-time job to date online. Or you really need to make an effort to get out there and meet people organically, like I mentioned earlier. So when I have noticed that when men do go to meetups and to, you know, different ways where they're meeting people in person, they are making an effort. So that should correlate to the effort that they're making possibly in a relationship. So maybe that's kind of what you need to try. Set the online dating aside for a moment. And try to meet people in person and see what happens. You know, sometimes men and women need a green light from you. So if you meet someone that you are enjoying speaking to when you're out and about at a meetup or at some kind of singles function or at a friend's house or whatever it is on a blind date, say to them, I've really enjoyed meeting you and I'd love to see you again. So give the green light so that the person knows you're authentically interested and they'll feel like they can give back the same kind of effort. Try that. Why do men come on strong and then flake out? You know what? We could spend all day and all night trying to analyze men and trying to figure out why are they doing this. But the bottom line is you should just think to yourself, thank you. You have basically let yourself out the door, and you've essentially shown who you really are. Thank you. Next. So I had a client recently, and she said, oh, this guy, he seems great. He's calling me, you know, he's calling me, he's texting me. You know, he sent her flowers at work after like the second date, which I thought was really soon, by the way. That's kind of like an action that you take later on. And then the guy just like disappears. And I was like, interesting. It was kind of love bombing. You know, it was a lot of action. It was showing a lot of interest in the beginning and then flaked out. And he's obviously just not the right person for her. Fine, easy, like done, gone. Then she starts dating a great guy and he comes across easygoing, steady, and consistent. No love bombing, but very thoughtful, planning cool dates, in regular touch, communicating. She said, I've never dated a guy like this before. Great guy. She met him online. Well educated, has a great job, grown children. She's never dated 10 years older. He was, is. So she was kind of trying out something new, and she really liked the fact that he was mature, frankly. And, that is working for her. And I said, look, no flowers on the second date. She said, exactly. So if they're coming on too strong, notice it and acknowledge. A lot of times people come on too strong, they do end up kind of burning out and flaking out. This is a fun question. How do you truly get the attention of a man in the wild? What do they look for, or what moves do we need to make? Where do we go? So I talked about where do we go a little bit earlier. The best way to get the attention of a man in the wild is to make really good eye contact and smile. Don't be afraid if you're at a bar, if you're at a restaurant, if you're at a meetup, wherever you are, to approach someone with a fun little one-liner. It could be anything. It just look around you and see what the circumstances are. If you're at a fun night out and you're listening to a band, you know, it could just be this guy's great. Look at that, you know, guitarist. I'm loving this so much. Have you seen them before? So just comment on wherever you are. If you're in line at Starbucks, just make a comment about, you know, have you ever had that pastry? Just whatever you need to do to open it up. And then either they'll respond in kind or they won't. So it's not necessarily like the moves. It's more about the eye contact, the smile. It just needs to be kind of this vibe that you read in between you, and the man will either approach you or not. It's pretty easy to know. And if someone does approach you, they're attracted to you. They're interested. Men don't approach women if they're not interested. Talking, obviously in heterosexual relationships. Same goes in the LGBTQIA community. People approach people when they're getting the green light because the person has looked at them and smiled, and that's the way to go. Why is it that so many women say they want to date and find the one, yet they aren't willing to make any changes to their life and or lifestyle to do so? Interesting. Number one, they might be saying that they want to date and find the one, but they might not be interested in you. And then they're sort of being a people pleaser and not really admitting that they're not interested, and they're using their circumstances as an excuse. I'm sorry, I'm so busy. I'm sorry, I got the kids this weekend or whatever. So that, number one, could be a good answer for it. A lot of women are just not wanting to rock the boat. They just figure, oh, hopefully he'll go away, but I don't want to be mean. It's like this thing that they do. So if you're a woman out there and you've used this as an excuse, you don't have to. Just say to the guy, listen, I've enjoyed meeting you. I don't think we're a forever match, but I really wish you all the luck and love and life, and I hope you find the one. That's it. That's all you have to do, and you're done, instead of blaming your circumstances. If, however, the woman really is busy because she's a single mom and she's in school and she's got a job and she's a sister and, a daughter and all the different things that women are normally, you need to pace yourself, because if this person is really who you're looking for, she's worth it. Pace yourself, show that you're there for the long haul. And as long as she's not ignoring you or not making plans, see if you like it. If it's a lot of times I've noticed, even the men sometimes who hire me for matchmaking, they want to get into the relationship like in the middle of the relationship when they haven't even given the beginning of the relationship a real chance. It takes time and space in the beginning to start, really start something up and really start stirring things up so that it's exciting. So, really, what you want to do is you want to allow that organic slow roll to happen in the beginning. Remember, you don't want to love bomb. You want to make sure that the person is thinking about you, missing you a little bit, especially in the beginning, but not giving too much space. Like, I don't believe in this whole 3 days to respond, respond to somebody after a date. That just creates so much anxiety between people when it's completely not necessary. If you go on a date and you have a great time, text them the next day and say, had fun. Let's plan another one soon and see what the other person says. And, call them after a day or two, or text them again the next day. And it just needs to be organic, basically. You know when it's time to see somebody again. You know when you're inundating them with text messages. Don't jump into this false. Here's what happens. Sometimes people text way too much in the beginning, and it creates this weird false sense of security, or we're in a relationship, but you're really not. Texting is like kind of empty in that way. It's fun, it's flirty, it's exciting. You get that dopamine hit, like, whoop, they texted me. It's exciting. There they are again. But it's not real. What's real is setting up dates. What's real is in the planning. What's real is seeing them. What's real is knowing when you're going to see them again. What's real is consistency and all the things. So that's really what you want to be looking for. And if the person is not capable because of their busy schedule or their lifestyle to see you on a regular basis or respond to you regularly, then they're not the right one. Even if they want it so badly, sometimes they just can't. All right, here's an interesting one. Someone was talking about online dating in their question, and they said, I don't find that grown people in their 40s to 60s actually want to meet in person. Many only want to text. After being married for 25 years, it took me a bit to be ready. It's truly so disappointing when you're ready, put yourself out there, knowing you have so much to offer, to get the same thing time after time after time. I would think it's just me and the interactions, but no matter how much I change it up, I still find that this age group, mainly 50s, just aren't genuine in wanting to meet anyone. They like to message and chase, but they're not actually meeting. And the writer said, I miss the old-fashioned way of meeting people. In my experience, if a man is interested in meeting a woman while online dating, he normally tries to make it happen. like that week unless he is traveling. So when I'm working with my women with online dating management, you know, basically I'm counting on 5 days max before you are actually meeting the person. So some back and forth, not too much, paragraph forms where you can see that they have a command of the English language and it's not, you know, completely breaking down, which is kind of what happens when you've got someone who is a scammer. At first, it sounds really good. And then all of a sudden, you're noticing they're missing punctuation. Everything starts to change. They're trying to act as if, you know, they're the same person, but they're not. So that's a scammer. But for the real people, you want to go back and forth enough to maybe over 3 days or so max, and then suggest a meetup. You can just say something as easy as, well, I've enjoyed our conversation so far. Where do we go from here? And I know that I've talked about this before on the podcast, but I'm just going to explain to you, especially women out there that are listening. What you want to do at that point is you want to set up the date on the app and then say to them, great, just in case I can't find you, let me grab your phone number. And then what I want you to do is I want you to go to Ben Verified or Truth Finder and run a background check. I do this for every single one of my clients. There are men out there online dating who are not good people. And you need to be very, very careful. Okay. And this could be somebody that you meet at a meetup also out and about. You don't know who these people are. So you need to be number one cautious. And that's, you know, the most important thing. You with merely a phone number, you can look somebody up and you can figure out anything that might be on a criminal background check. You can find out their last name and you can just see, you know, are they clean? Are they not? If they have something on the record, how long ago was it? And then determine if this is somebody who you want to meet. If everything checks out, great. I'll see you, you know, Saturday night. Now, if they plan a date with you and then they drop off the app before you've met them, that's often a sign that they're not going to be meeting you in person unless they have your phone number and they text you and say, hey, looking forward to tonight, and they confirm the date. But most likely, if they have dropped off the app, it's a no-go. Don't just show up and think they're going to show up because they're not going to. That happened recently to one of my clients. And I said to her, don't show up to the date. She went because she was like in the area anyway, but I wouldn't have if I were her. But I think she was kind of curious to see if he would show up. So don't bother doing that unless they have confirmed with you that day and they're still on the app. All right. And the last question, and some one that we'll end with, is how does someone go about watching your podcast? And that's easy. Simply go to YouTube and go to Caroline's Matchmaker, and you will see all of my podcasts and all of my reels and all of my socials, and you can follow me there. I love doing these. And if you have any questions, you can DM me on any of the socials or send me an email, Laurie, Laurie, at carolinasmatchmaker.com. And I will pop your questions into the next podcast. I hope this was helpful. And I would love for you to help review this podcast. I need some more people doing that. So if you wouldn't mind going on Apple and reviewing, give me a 5-star review, please, and make a comment if this is one that is helpful to you. And I appreciate you listening.
Thanks for listening to Love on the Go. I hope you join us on our next episode. You can make sure to know when it is by following us wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, if you enjoyed it, it'd be great if you left us a review. I'd appreciate it. In the meantime, to learn more about me and how my team can help you, visit carolinasmatchmaker.com. Until next time.